This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. He was on my show back in November. We're talking about Route 1 Inc., the trade on the OTCQB. You can find them under the ticker symbol ROIUF. If you're up there in Toronto, you can find them on the TSX Venture under the ticker symbol ROI. And with us today is the CEO and director of the company, Tony Passeri. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Everett, thank you. Good to be here.
You know, what a year for you guys. I mean, literally, you should take a bow. Revenues on, and I think on all the fronts, you guys crushed it. That being said, go ahead and summarize, if you would, for 219, and maybe highlight some of the specifics that you felt that you guys did really well at.
Sure. Everett, and to our listeners, I guess the first thing for us that comes to mind is that, wow, what a transformational year. And specifically, I'm speaking to, you know, that PCS Mobile acquisition that we closed on June 28th, about 6 months ago. Not only did it add revenue and EBITDA and accounts, it added a lot of talent. And ultimately, our ability as a business to execute is going to be based off of the people that go to market for us, that develop the technologies that support our clients. And we're thrilled with the acquisition on so many fronts. And those metrics can be seen with the results we deliver. But for internally, we see it with the type of breadth and depth of talent that we have. The acquisition also added for us the Genetec relationship. And more specifically, we're going to market now with their AutoView technology in the license plate recognition space. Why we're so excited about it, it's our entry into the video-based solutions or outcomes marketplace. And by the way, when we talk about outcome, it's a word that's become very important to us, and it's how we are going to market. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today, I suspect, as we capture the year in review and address some of the, you know, things we're going to do going forward here. The second thing that really defines our transformation this year is the new technologies we brought to market. And specifically, I'm thinking of ScreenStop, the screen masking technology. It's, again, a reflection of us addressing our clients' requirements and creating an outcome for them that not only addresses a current scenario for them, but it's going to evolve their business forward, that's going to improve their profitability or put them in a better competitive position or address contingent liabilities. And in this case with ScreenStop, it's an example of adding a unique technology, let's call it arrow, to our outcomes quiver. And, you know, a friend of mine once used a quote, and I love referencing it, so why don't I play it out here? So from our perspective, it's about having the big hat and the cattle. And the quote my friend used to say to me is, never be the man with big hat and no cattle. In many ways, I think when we go to market and we address our clients' challenges and it's an outcomes-based approach, as we build and create new technologies, it just adds to the quiver of unique things that we can bring our client that are unique to us.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that the third part or the third element of a transformational year obviously goes to the financial metrics. And you touched on that early on in this conversation, is that, you know, in Q3, we laid out a quarter where we delivered in Canadian dollars, slightly shy of $9 million of revenue, and earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, or as we like to say, EBITDA,
yep,
of about $750,000, $744,000. And I think about all those things coming together and I say, wow, are we ever in a position, you know, to take ourselves to the next step and really go quite deep? And so I don't want to go too far with this question, but I talked about being a transformational year. What else was it for us? We strongly believe that the new go-to-market or outcomes-based approach to selling is going to be really, really productive for us. You know, we want longer, deeper relationships with our clients. It's not about selling a product. It's about putting them in a better position. And they're going to keep on coming back to us because we're an answer to their problems. We're also providing them insights and abilities to get ahead of their competition. Where I'm going to with this is that there's many things that we're doing that would characterize the year for us. But, you know, I could ramble on here for a while, so I'll shut up and allow this conversation to be interactive.
All that being said, what trends are you seeing with the government and enterprise usage of their data to create better incomes? And take it a step even further, are the trends the same for government as it is for enterprises?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of things I can answer there, but there continues to be a real strong concern over data breaches. Historical paradigms are being challenged on how you support a mobile workforce. And simplistically, VPNs are not the answer going forward for the support of mobile workforce. I mean, data breaches have been around for a while, but it's funny, you know, that sometimes the way we approach the issue of mobility doesn't really get the attention that's needed until something really dramatic happens for a specific firm. I think we keep on moving that ball down the path towards more secure approaches to supporting a more diverse mobile workforce. So that would be my first comment. From a federal government perspective, specific to it, I think Washington continues to pursue new ways of or better ways of authenticating their workforce. One of the common themes today is derived credentials, which is taking a derivation of a full-size smart card and using that as a way of authenticating their user. We have a horse in that race. It's called Derive ID. We're working with some of the key policymaking groups, whether that be DISA on the DOD side, and working with them to make it easier for their workers to authenticate themselves, but still keeping a very high standard of user authentication. And if I want to tip my hat as an acknowledgement to government here, and quite often we criticize government, at the federal level, it's my view that the things they're doing around user authentication are quite advanced often what we see in the enterprise or the private sector. So we're excited to be participating. A third trend there is that video continues to grow in its use to provide a safer work environment for our public safety officers. I'm thinking about police officers and identifying threats before harm happens to them. And video continues to be a tool to act on revenue models currently available to communities that are poorly executed on. Quite often, our communities are struggling to meet their budget requirements. They already have on the books rules or revenue tools, but they don't know how to actualize on it, so they collect. And video, whether it's license plate recognition technology to ensure people are paying parking tickets or the like, is a tool that I think local, state, and feds are going to be able to use to enforce revenue that's available to them. So for us, it's a large area of new interest that complements many of the things we've done on the traditional data arena. My last comment about trends, I guess, would go specific to, you know, data analytics, and that quite often we talk about artificial intelligence or machine learning. Boy, oh boy, it's our view, and based off of dealing with manufacturing America for a term here, is that until they start embracing the fact that there is data that's available and they start using it to look at making better decisions, forget about AI and machine learning. We need to get corporate America engaged with the data they're already creating to extract it on a real-time basis and make quality decisions from that. That then puts them in the position that AI and machine learning can be relevant to them. But let's not kid ourselves. We have a long way to go with corporate America or the manufacturing side of the house here in using data to make better decisions. And that does not mean taking on data security risks or PII risks. It means just using the information they have available to them. So those would be the four largest trends, I think, that we're engaged with, that we see are relevant for us, and we move forward into 2020 wanting to address it.
Well said, well said. Speaking of 2020, what are your goals here in the first, say, two or three quarters?
Yeah, you know, and before I go right at that, Ever, I think one of the things that I don't know if I fleshed out fully when I talked about, you know, the year in review, I just want to touch real quickly on employees or talent more specifically. You're probably aware there's been a lot of chatter over the last couple of quarters around corporations and is their responsibility only to delivering earnings to shareholders. And one, you know, and there's been this wrestling about what about our give back to our communities and our employees? You know, where's that fit relative to shareholder returns? And I want to make a quick comment on that because I think it's really important about the way we run our business and what we have here at Route One. I don't think the fact that we have a responsibility to shareholders and corporate financial metrics is inconsistent with being engaged in our communities. I've always been a believer, and I think we walk the talk here at Route One around the fact that If your employees find that they have a career versus a job, and that career is engaging for them, it's intellectually stimulating for them, and it pays them well, you're actually investing in your community. And I strongly believe that both of those things are work in parallel or work well together. If you have an engaged workforce that's talent, the people have careers, and they're earning appropriate amounts of money, and they're engaged in their community as a result, you're building vibrant communities where there's opportunities for people to invest with a company longer term. And again, as a shareholder, I want to know that the company I'm investing in has people that are engaged, take their career seriously, and giving everything they have. And I think those two things work hand in hand. And that would be my comment. And I neglected to mention that when I talked about what 2019 meant for us. I talked about the talent that was acquired as a result of the acquisition of PCS Mobile. But holistically speaking, I think we've taken a major step forward now with a team of 50 to 60 people that are engaged. As much as we have great technology, we have super people, and we really feel our give back is through them and therefore the impacts they're going to have on their community. Sorry about that, but I felt that was an important statement there. So on our goals for 20, we want to continue to invest in people. And specifically, we're going to grow. And how do we invest in people? We buy other companies, we integrate them in, or we continue to expand our presence through organic growth across America in providing outcomes-based solutions using data. So what can shareholders expect from us? Organic growth and acquisitions, things we did in 2018 and 19 will happen in 20. We will build and acquire additional companies. So I think it's fair to say that we would expect to end the year somewhere between 60 to 75 million in run rate revenue, and that the margin would be 6 to 9% EBITDA in that range, similar to what we've delivered in different quarters this year. So the 2020 year, hopefully quite a bit bigger than we are today, combination of acquisitions and organic growth. So we're thrilled the way 19 ended. We look forward to having this discussion a year from now and talking about how we met or exceeded these goals.
My guest today has been Route One. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol ROIUF. If you're up there in Toronto, look him up on the TSX. You can find him under the ticker symbol ROI. You've been listening to the CEO and director of the company, Tony Passeri. Tony, I want to thank you for supporting us, supporting the show and everything. I believe that 2020 is going to be a great year for you guys. In closing, is there anything that you didn't get a chance to say that you would like to mention?
Well, I bet I already took the third part of our discussion and added in something. Look, I like the questions you've set out for me. I think Route One's a vibrant, growing company. It's in the right space at the right time, dealing with data to build better companies, whether that be government, whether it be enterprise. I look forward to delivering for our shareholders, and keep an eye on us. A lot of good things going on here.
Tony, thank you so much. Happy holidays. I wish you nothing but the best out there. I'll see you sometime next year.
Merry Christmas. Thank you, Everett.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.